Here's your money briefing for Friday, October 23rd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Shutdowns, travel restrictions, job losses, the coronavirus pandemic has defined 2020. That may have made you more conscious about your money and how you spend it. But the pandemic may also be affecting your financial decisions in ways you aren't aware of. And when it comes to personal finances, that can be dangerous.
One of the key parts of it is you actually don't even really understand that you're feeling that way, and you certainly don't necessarily understand why.
That's John Payne of Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. He'll explain how to counterbalance the effects of these subtle feelings and avoid making dangerous decisions with your money. That's after the break. Americans have consciously changed their spending habits due to the pandemic. Many people put plans on hold for travel or other expenses. Some lost their jobs or were furloughed for a while, and others may have started putting money away in case of emergency. But COVID-19 is affecting people's financial decisions unconsciously as well, as they deal with the emotional toll of the pandemic. John Payne has been studying this. He's a professor emeritus at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. Hey, John, thank you for being with us.
All right.
So, you know, a lot of us are going through some kind of COVID fatigue. We hear enough about it every day, and it has a lot of people on edge. But there's more going on below the surface?
The basic idea is you get an emotional reaction along with whatever intellectual reactions you've got, you know, following the Wall Street Journal numbers on how many cases, and it can cause people to sort of feel sad or maybe fearful or angry. Just three negative emotions, all of which you can sort of have. And the idea here is that that can impact the decisions you make. The key is it's an ambient emotion that often has an unconscious effect on your decision. It's not like something that you know why you're angry or you know why you're fearful or sad, like perhaps if you've got a medical diagnosis of something that's really not good and terrible and stuff like that, and that you associate with a specific task-related kind of emotion. This is a more general background kind of thing, and one of the key parts of it is you actually don't even really understand that you're feeling that way, and you certainly don't necessarily understand why. Now, you can have that brought to your attention, like, have you thought about the fact that it's cloudy today, or it's been 2 months since you've seen the sunshine in New York? But that's a different kind of thing than a more task-specific kind of thing.
Now, these ambient emotions, how could they play a role in people making financial decisions?
You can have a general sense of fear, much like, you know, a cloudy day can make you sad. And we know that can cause you to be perhaps more risk-averse in your decision-making. And obviously that can have implications for specific kinds of financial decisions, like, you know, do you want to claim your Social Security early or late? If you're going to keep some of your retirement money in equities versus bonds, how much do you put in the equity part? So it can have a variety of decisions like that. But that's just on the fear side. Anger is actually an interesting one because even though it's also a negative emotion, it tends to lead to just the opposite. More risk-taking, more sort of wanting to do something to solve the problem that generated the anger.
And how does sadness play a role?
It's a negative emotion, much like fear and anger. It tends to be an avoidant emotion. You really want to try to sort of figure out how to get away from it. It's an interesting kind of thing. It's, you know, the basic idea here is that when you are feeling sad, you often will try to either do something that will make you happy. So you go out and you buy yourself a good hot fudge sundae, or, you know, you might avoid making decisions that you think might cause that emotion to be even greater.
Are men and women affected differently by these subtle emotions?
The short answer is not to a large extent. There's a little bit of evidence that suggests that men may react to feelings of anger stronger. So they may be more likely to take some action to try to deal with it. But both genders experience fear, anger, sadness, so forth.
You know, you mentioned Social Security earlier. These types of emotions can be particularly worrisome for older people.
The virus seems to affect older people differently than younger people. both in terms of perhaps susceptibility to it, although there's debate about that, but certainly in terms of seriousness. As you get into that age bracket in your 60s and so forth, you've got a number of major financial decisions to make, like when you're going to claim your Social Security, are you going to buy a life annuity, et cetera, which are big decisions that really are not decisions you're going to have a chance to sort of try and then redo. It's a huge decision in people's lives. Some would argue it's one of the most significant financial decisions. But once you've decided what age you're going to claim and start claiming, you can't do a do-over. Buying a life annuity, you could potentially sell it back at a great discount. But it's also a not very common thing and can have big impact.
Now, these emotions are hidden. They aren't easily recognizable. But is there a way for people to get ahead and maybe fend them off?
Certainly, a part of it is just sort of recognizing that, you know, maybe I'm feeling down today or my mood isn't very good because the weather's not very good. And there is some research to suggest that just that awareness that there could be a cause that's related to the weather and not your financial well-being or decisions. Sometimes you could try to overcome it by essentially, and this is somewhat related to that, by saying, well, like, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't be making that decision today. Delay a few days, a week, with the idea that perhaps then you'd get a different reaction and perhaps think things differently. The other thing is to get people to sort of go from feeling fearful or scared to maybe a little angry. While they're both negative, fear, you tend to pull away. You can almost see people do that when you're talking. Where anger, they tend to move forward a little bit. And, you know, there's some evidence to suggest, and I've worked on this, that, you know, people maybe, if they're feeling fear, aren't quite as willing to take some treatments that they might benefit from. Whereas they're feeling angry, they're more likely to. And the other thing we talk about is, you know, basically getting you to sort of think about, well, what advice would you give to someone else so that you sort of, in some sense, remove yourself and get yourself to think a little bit more analytical about what you're facing.
So what can we learn from this experience for the next crisis?
Well, I mean, I think one of it is to, I mean, besides obviously just recognizing that, you know, you might make a poor decision because you're feeling depressed right now for things that have nothing to do with the financial decisions you're facing, just the weather, the fact that you're at home. Think about the alternatives. Think about what you would do if X as opposed to Y was true. Or think about what advice you might give to your friends or neighbors or others in terms of what they should do. These are all little tricks. Think about why you might be feeling the way you're doing that may have nothing to do with your conversation with your financial advisor.
All right, that's John Payne of Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. John, thanks for being with us.
It has been my pleasure. I'm glad to talk to you. Thank you very much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.